Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On page 983 of those pew Bibles, the epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. You, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This little five-verse story, Mary and Martha, has vexed church people from the beginning, I think, because we all jump to Mary and Martha as types, and most of us fall into the Martha type. But before we jump immediately to those things that vex, let's spend a bit of time just on the domestic scene itself. The timeline in Luke is a little weird, Before chapter 9, verse 51, you have the Christmas story and the Galilean ministry. From 9:51 through roughly chapter 19, you have a travel story. Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, always towards the cross. And when they arrive in Jerusalem, you have the Passion story. It's from the Gospel of John that we get roughly 3 years of Jesus' active ministry. And Jesus and John makes multiple trips to Jerusalem. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's just the one. All you had were those synoptics, the entire story might take place in 1 year. So parts of Luke's arrangement are thematic. They're not strictly chronological. And I think I'd say that about this scene because Mary and Martha are the sisters of Lazarus, who all live in Bethany, which is just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. So thematically, from Luke, Jesus is on the way to the cross, and he would be growing very near if he is on Bethany. Chronologically, we know it couldn't have been the last trip, because this is the trip that Jesus would raise Lazarus on. And Mary and Martha would meet Jesus on the road. But Luke is using the story as a counterpoint or a reminder after he had sent out the 70 and after the parable of the Good Samaritan. So thematically, Jesus has been very active. He's set his face to go to Jerusalem. He's sent out the 70 to go to all of the villages in front of him, proclaiming the message. And he's continued to do miracles, but he's also been taking on all the various lawyers that have been testing him at every stop along the way. As Jesus summarized about his ministry just before sending up those 70, foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The end of chapter 9 and all of chapter 10 have been about work, about effort, about doing. Capped off, at least on the surface, with the Good Samaritan. Go and do likewise. So, when the Son of Man does find a place to rest his head, in the home of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, what happens? If you've been traveling, and you've got something big coming up on the horizon, what do you feel like? You want a four-course Michelin-starred meal with everyone possible invited? Or do you want a hamburger and some discussion with friends? And if you're in the role of host, is your job to do what you want to do for your honored guests? Or is it to make your guests at ease? Jesus, the famous traveling miracle worker, was staying with Martha, and Martha wanted to pull out all of the stops. She's probably got the entire village coming over later, and it is for Jesus, but it's also for Martha. When we get involved in much doing, this is often the way. Yes, we are doing because we think it will honor our guest, Jesus. And to be fair, it usually does. Jesus doesn't tell Martha that what she is doing is bad. But we should also be honest. We are doing it because of our anxieties and our troubles and our needs. Jesus tells Martha that she is troubled about many things. Martha, as host, was thinking about her troubles and her guests' troubles. When we set out to do, we are often thinking about our troubles and not the needs of the kingdom. In the scene itself, Martha is overwhelmed by the work involved and everything that she wanted to do for the Lord. And she wants the Messiah to tell her sister to get busy on her project. But Jesus won't do that, because Martha's project is not the kingdom project. It isn't even the best way to honor their guests. Mary has chosen the better. Now, stepping out of that specific scene, Mary and Martha are typically read as symbols or types of life, the active life and the contemplative life. Think of the active life as a moral crusader and the contemplative life as prayer and meditation. Our world has a strong tilt to the Martha lifestyle. It sneers at thoughts and prayers. It has little use for time for thought, no justice now, no peace now. But as Jesus says, we are anxious and troubled about many things. And as in the scene itself, our active lives are not always directed at kingdom goals, so much as acting out our own troubles. Troubles that have not been contemplated first. Troubles that have not been understood even by ourselves. Now, there are some false conclusions. We've all heard Mary and Martha used as an excuse not to do anything. And it's usually cited by someone who you don't find sitting at the seat of Jesus listening to every teaching he contemplates. Such a response that is neither troubled about many things, even if those things are not directly kingdom related, nor engaged in contemplation of the kingdom, is not even in the house. Because just the difference between natural law, let's say, and what we actually see should cause us some anxiety, even if that anxiety is simply that we have a just law. But being in neither the word nor attempting to live it as you understand it just isn't in the house. And I think Jesus would say, go back and listen again to the Good Samaritan. There's also the false conclusion that Mary, that contemplative life, is everything. We run into this type that loves to study and discuss and ponder and debate and to be known to do that. And yet, it never impacts how they actually live, other than taking up all of their waking hours. And I say this because Mary's contemplation is also part action. Her sitting at the feet of Jesus listening is also exactly what that Son of Man needed, a place to rest his head. The way of the kingdom is often like that. The contemplative life or experiencing God also is an active. God's will is done. The law says do this, and it's never actually done. The gospel says hear this, and everything is finished. We rush to compare Mary and Martha. And there is a comparison. Jesus does say that Mary has chosen the good part. But instead of an either or, I'd encourage you to take the comparison as an order. action without contemplation is usually just acting out our anxieties and our troubles. And sometimes we're just throwing stuff on the wall, and that's actually the best we can do at that moment. But the good portion, what marriage is, was to experience God. You can chide me for citing a Reformed catechism in a Lutheran pulpit, but the first question that the Westminster Catechism asks is, what is the chief end of man? And it answers, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Westminster Catechism gets what Mary has chosen. The active life has its place. Jesus sends out the 70. He's on the way to Jerusalem on his father's mission. Go and do likewise is in the background. But doing is only rightly ordered by the gospel. The doing is only rightly ordered when it is to glorify God and to enjoy him. Which is what Mary has chosen in this moment. She's giving the Messiah on the way to the cross her ear. She's giving him a place to lay his head. And she's giving him a shelter. And she's doing this because she wants to enjoy being with the Messiah. There really isn't a contradiction between the active and the contemplative life. That's more of our trouble. We don't trust God enough. Or worse, maybe we don't enjoy God's company. But the good life, the good action, is ordered by the love of God. God's will certainly happens without our internal Marthas. But we pray that God's will would happen with us. We pray we would choose the good. Amen.